Mr. Scott, for the tape, would you state your full name and date of birth, please?
Joseph Burt Scott, born in Memphis, Tennessee, October 2nd, 1920.
Mr. Scott, have you lived, spent all of your life in Memphis?
No, I haven't. I lived in Chicago, Pittsburgh, New York, playing baseball at that time, the way I lived, away from Memphis.
And has baseball been your primary occupation?
No, I was a truck driver for Intercity Trucking Company in Memphis, Tennessee, after my baseball career.
Okay. Let's start, we can do it chronologically, starting with your childhood. What area of town did you live in, and what were your memories of that?
I lived in North Memphis. I went to Corns Avenue School and enjoyed going to Corns Avenue because we had a very fine principal, which got me as far as I am today of his memories of how to be a good American citizen. His name was Professor C.J. Neal at Corns Avenue School. And all the teachers there were very instrumental in helping me further my education, which I don't have too much, but I know I'll be 75 in October, and I've been from one state to another and working in baseball, also in traveling, every state but Hawaii. And I've met a lot of folk in that time.
Do you remember specifically what the what kinds of lessons that they, what kinds of things they tried to instill?
Yes, in grade school, be prompt, come to school every day, and learn something new every day. In fact, my principal, every Sunday morning, he would comb the neighborhood to see whether he was in church or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was wonderful. Because on Monday morning, he'd walk in the classroom and say, "You boy, stand up. What was the Sunday school lesson about?" And if you couldn't tell him, you'd have to go out in the hall. He'd go to some church every Sunday, and he would visit all the neighborhoods. He walked. He didn't have a car. He drove. He didn't drive nowhere. He just walked in the neighborhood. He was a very strong man. Yeah.
What church did you attend?
That time, the Church of God in Christ. Was Bishop C.H. Mason. You heard of him?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Charles Harrison Mason. My mother was in that denomination ever since she was 6 years old up until her death. And I always admire my mother for bringing up four without a father. My father and mother separated when I was 9 years old. And she brought us up to be good Christian people, you know. And we, the four of us, we never strayed away from the teachings that we got. And that played a big part in my life of meeting people every day. And I don't put them in a down category like some people do. All of us have our way of life, of living.
Mr. Scott, you said you lived in North Memphis.
North Memphis.
What could you describe that neighborhood, or what do you remember, what sticks in your mind about the neighborhood and how it looked and how the people got along?
It was a well-developed neighborhood. The people were all practically churchgoers that I know from street to street. That means from Ayers and Lane, Decatur and Lane, Peach Street, Ashley, Mosby, Jones, all of those people. Everybody knowed each other from coming up. And my mother had to work and come home only on Thursdays and Sundays. And she knowed daily what we were doing at the house because someone would tell her when she come home. I would say the black sheep of my family because I didn't like to eat no one's cooking but my mother's. Mm-hmm. And I had to go where my mother worked to get my food. Mm-hmm. My brother was older than I, so he could cook. And my mother hired a lady to cook and see after us. Mm-hmm. We had a fence around our house, and we supposed to come home from school and stay within that fence. But I did not. I would love baseball, and I would go to the dirt field or the waterworks where they were playing ball. These folk were older than I, the men that played ball, maybe 10 or 12 years older than I. But I wanted to get out there with them. But on Sundays, my mother, Thursdays, my mother would whip me for playing baseball. And everyone asked her, even her cousin asked her, why you whip him so much? She said, he's on the ball field. And playing ball is gambling. And we don't allow that. And that's why I got the whippings for maybe 3 or 4 years. And she'd stop whipping me. And when I went to Chicago, I got a chance to go to high school there and got a chance to play on the baseball team.
How happened he went to, you said you got a chance to explain?
I was entered Manassas High School. And we had a homeroom teacher that morning. I had brought a Mr. Goodbar. And my best buddy said to the teacher, the homeroom teacher, just in there 15 minutes to make roll call and go to our other classes, starting classes. He said, someone got my bar of candy. And this teacher reached on my desk and got my bar of candy and was going to keep it. And I wasn't going to stand for that. Like I said, I don't have no fear. If something belonged to me, I want it. If something belonged to you, you can have it. I don't want it. So I snatched that bar of candy out of her good hand and went where my mother worked and told her I wasn't going to school anymore. I'm going to help you with my baby sister. And I had two sisters. So what happened, mother said, you go home, I'm going to go back over to the school. And I said, okay, I'm going to work today. I was working, riding a bicycle for 3 cents on a package at a drugstore. So I go over to the drugstore and ask the guy, can I go to work? He said, yes, we can use you. I said, okay. I had a real good Indian bicycle, the same brand Indian. And I went to work. It was about 10 o'clock in the morning, and my shift come on at 4. But in the meantime, taking the packages out, the last packages I had in my bag was 9 different orders. And I had to get back before 4 o'clock so I could be the first one in and the first one out. And I had an accident coming back. There was a lady backed into my bicycle carrying the drugstore. And she said, it's not his fault, told the clerk. And the clerk said, I ought to beat your brains out. He had a club stick by the cash register. And I said, I done quit. And I went home. And in the meantime, I went back to the drugstore to get my money. Mm-hmm. I said, you pay me off. He said, no, I can't pay you off. Dr. Crawford isn't here. I said, tell him to mail me my money at home because I'm not coming back to this drugstore. And that evening, my mother got home. She said, I'm going to get your aunt on the phone, and I'm going to send you to Chicago if you don't want to go to school down here. Okay. So that evening, my mother put me on the Illinois Central train at 8 o'clock, number 4, going to Chicago. And I got to Chicago, and I met my aunt, and I told my aunt I was going to get me a job. And somewhere I need to work and make me some money so I can had to buy books then. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It wasn't no free books. I'm going to give you some tissue. You want? Okay.
I apologize.
No, that's all right. I guess
I have
you.
Plenty.
Okay.
I just, yeah.
So I found me a job busing dishes in a restaurant. 50 cents a night. And I asked the manager, after working a couple of nights, could I have my money? Mm-hmm. Every night. He said, why? I said, because I'm looking for something better. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He said, well, we'll go this week and see how you do to work, and next week we'll pay you every night. And I worked there for 5 or 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And bought me a few things. And my mother kept hounding on me to go to school, get back in school. So I called this fellow that used to live in Memphis next door to me, Johnny B. Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, meet me at 47 and South Parkway, which now is 47 and King's Drive.
Mm-hmm.
We had to go to the west side, to the 4747 Union, where Tilden Tech High School.
Mm-hmm.
I got over there, walked up in the principal's office. She gave me an application to fill out. And she said, come back in a couple of days. As I did, after I got the application, I filled it out and I went in another office and taking an exam.
Mm-hmm.
In 3 days, they called me and told me I was accepted. And I started to Tilden Tech High School.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed my tenure there. And this makes it so obvious that a few blacks, well, all the white boys would know the blacks that was going there. And I go up every year to a reunion, and someone don't see me, they'll ask. They'll get on a loudspeaker, is Joe Scott here?
Oh,
you know, yes. They'll look for me, and they have a VIP room. We go in there, and we talk about old times and whatnot. I enjoy that.
Could you tell me again how you started playing baseball at Tilden? For the tape?
Yes, I started to play in around Memphis here, softball.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is before you left.
But yes.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, well, I always wanted to play with the big boys, which they were men, and they had baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
And also they had little leagues around Chicago, like they had a church league,
mm-hmm.
Sunday school league, a packing house league, and I got a chance to play with the packing house, Armor and Company in Chicago. And wasn't getting no money, but just playing amateur baseball.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when the school called for a tryout for the baseball team, I went out for it, and I was selected out of 250. They only carried 25 ball players.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the team, and I played baseball when I got out of school. I went with Satchel Paige All-Star,
okay.
One of the premier black pitchers in Negro baseball. Mm-hmm. And I went in service mm-hmm. in 1942, October the 6th, 1942, I went in service. And I got a chance to play on a service team. Mm-hmm. I was the only black on the team. And how I got to play on that team, out of Dayton, Ohio, a team come through there to play at Ducks Park. After the game, the fella on the New York Black Yankees asked me, would I play with him after I got out of service? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He said, I'll give you $500 if you come. So he gave me a bonus of $500, carried me to a notary, and I signed for to play with the New York Black Yankees. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My greatest thrill of playing in service, I got a chance to play against the Pittsburgh Pirates, April the 5th, 1945, in Muncie, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And I was the only black on the field.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I've had a lot of words said that a lot of people wouldn't like, but in my coming up through Chicago little leagues, my coach would always say, let it go in one ear and out the other. Mm-hmm. And I did that all the way through my career. I never paid any attention to the bad talk mm-hmm. about race. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed listening to it because I wouldn't be laughing at it. Mm-hmm. And I, as my coach would say, let your bat do the talking and your legs do the running. And that's what I did.
Mr. Scott, when did you play with Memphis Red Sox?
And I played with the Memphis Red Sox in 1947. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I played with several teams before the Memphis Red Sox.
Could you tell me which team?
Yeah, the New York Black Yankees.
Okay.
Out of New York, the Pittsburgh Crawfords out of Pittsburgh, PA,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and the Chicago American Giants, there in Chicago.
Okay.
I would play with them, but I wouldn't travel because I wouldn't be with the team, say, on the payroll because it was $35 a month.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I would just be playing for fun.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed that. I didn't get any money playing with the Chicago American Giants. I just played for the fun because I love baseball. And they, all the teams that I've met wanted me to play for. So I enjoyed traveling all over the country. They would pay for my meals and my lodging. That's all when I would travel with the Chicago American Giants, Pittsburgh Crawfords, I got paid, and the New York Black Yankees and the Memphis Red Sox. And I played with another team in Chicago right after high school was the Zulu Giants,
mm-hmm.
which was owned by Abe Saperstein. He owned the Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh, yeah.
Abe did. And he only would take 10% of the proceeds and give us the rest.
Oh, really?
Abe did that, yeah.
Was that pretty exceptional for someone to do?
Yes, yeah. He just wanted 10% of the proceeds. The rest of it would be split among the ball players. And I made more money like that than I did playing with the Chicago American Giants, offering me $35 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mr. Scott, when you were playing with the Giants, were you working somewhere else?
I was at working for Armour and Company.
Okay.
Plus, I played for Armour and Company too because they had a team in the Stockyard League.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I played 58 ball games 1 year, and this is in 41, and I hit 714. The batting average, my batting average was 714 in 58 ball games in that summer, and I had a trophy this high. I can say I may show you the trophy picture, but I don't have the trophy.
Okay.
Someone stole the trophy out of my house here in Memphis.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not this house, but another one. I just, the only thing I can say, I just love baseball, and I love all sports.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've tried to box, play football, you know, very little tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Been on the golf course one time and beat my neighbor across the street on the three hole. And the four of us, one of the four said, "You've been playing all the time." And it was the only time I've been on the golf course.
You said you would really enjoy traveling across the country.
Right.
Could you tell, I mean, this was in a time where there were like separate accommodations and all of that. What, do you share some of those things?
Yes. We could not live in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We could not eat in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
We had to go to the side door to get a hamburger or something to eat in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And we traveled in a little baby Greyhound bus where you could rest pretty good. Sometimes we'd travel all night to get to another town.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go to some rooming houses that the black had.
Okay.
And we'd stay with some prominent people.
Mm-hmm.
In these houses, maybe four players will stay here and three players will stay over there and two players on the next street and like that.
Mm-hmm.
When we'd all meet up at a certain time before ball game time.
Mm-hmm. For practice?
For playing.
Okay.
Yes. We had to go to the grocery store and buy canned sardines, pork and beans, and a drink, a orange drink, a grape or whatever you wanted, a Coke.
Mm-hmm.
We were not allowed in a white hotel and a white restaurant even now. We wouldn't be served. One story, I was with the Wright Field Kitty Hawks out of Dayton, Ohio. I was in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
We went into Muncie, Indiana to play the Pittsburgh Pirates. And going up to this Rogers Hotel to eat, I'm the only black.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get up there and we have a long table. The waitress come and give every player a menu but me. And my roommate was Sal Evars. He lived in New York. I'm trying to reach him now. He said, "Rumor, they're not serving you." I said, "No." I said, "I can go around down by the railroad track and get me something to eat." He said, "You're going to sit right here." So he called the manager over, and Lieutenant McGill come over and said, "What's wrong?" He said, "They're not serving Scott." Called the waitress, and the waitress said, "We cannot serve him." And he told the waitress to get the manager. When the manager come over, Lieutenant McGill said, "I demand you to serve him. He's in the United States Army, Air Force,
mm-hmm.
and he's part of this baseball team. If you don't serve him, we'll all walk out."
Mm-hmm.
So they gave me a menu, and I sat down and enjoyed my meal.
Mm-hmm.
And never had any regrets, never talked about it. Like, never felt bad because I didn't get it at first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When the teams are traveling through the various cities, what kinds of things did you all do for fun besides playing? I mean, recreational activities, were there?
It wasn't any. Sometime we would take in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And like when we get to the big cities like New York and Chicago, Washington or Pittsburgh, We had a day off. If it rained on us, we'd go to the movies, which that was what you call the North, like. And it wasn't so segregated like it was down here in Memphis. And like I said, I never envied no one saying, you can't come in. That's your privilege to tell me that, and I can look for further adventure.
Let's go back to your childhood for a few minutes.
Yes.
What did you ever meet any of your grandparents? Do you remember?
No, I met my grandfather. He was blind. His name was Gil Scott, and he was a Mississippian. And I used to lead him around at being 8 years old. And he died in 1945, I can remember. And my father died in 1936, in June. I can remember that. And I didn't know, and my grandmother, I did know her. She lived in Chicago. I didn't go around them much. My mother would always like to be on her own. She didn't want any help. She didn't want nobody to take care of her children. She was going to do it herself, and she did that. And I applaud her for that before she died in, I think, 82.
And there were four of you?
Yeah, four of us, right.
What was boys, girls?
Two boys and two girls. And I'm the second child. In fact, I'm the third child. It was five of us, but I had a brother before me died at being an infant a few months. And the older one, he lived a fruitful life. He lived to get, let me say, better than 60 years old.
What were your earliest, what is the earliest scene that you can remember about childhood, about growing up in Northbrook?
Riding a bicycle, going to the store for people in my neighborhood, getting a dime, washing windows for people in my neighborhood, and got a lot of remembrance from that, but I didn't but I tried to play ball then when I was 11 years old. I wanted to play ball. That was the highlight of my coming up, wanting to participate in some kind of sport or something that.
Were the men who you looked up to as ball players, were they all local, or were there like larger national names?
No, I looked up the only ball players coming up. Lou Gehrig was my idol. And behind that, Buck Leonard. They both were first basemen. And one black and one white. I wanted to be me, not Buck Leonard or not Lou Gehrig. I always thought that I could play with them even now. Even being a kid, you know, I thought I could get out there and do what they do, hit the ball and run. Yeah.
And who did Buck Leonard play for?
He played with the Homestead Grays. Okay. Yeah.
Where were they based?
In Washington, Pennsylvania. Washington, D.C. was their home field. Yeah.
And how did you, I mean, this is before the days of television and such. How
right.
did you find out about these players? I mean, how did
These players, these teams traveled through Memphis and all the boondocks in the South looking for ball players at one time. And they would play a game here in Memphis, Jackson, Tennessee, Jackson, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest ball players come out of Jackson, Mississippi was Cool Papa Bell.
Okay.
Have you heard of him? I played with Cool Papa when he was with the Chicago American Giants in Chicago, and I was a teenager then.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a chance to see all of these guys.
And so they would actually come, they would have games.
Right.
And you all would go, you and your friends?
I would go. I've been, none of my brothers never liked sports. Nobody around me liked sports. But they'd come and see me play.
Uh-huh.
My brothers and my sisters. My mother only went to 2 ball games that I played. 1 high school, and while I was in service, the Memphis Red Sox wanted to take a look at me, and I went into Chicago while they were playing the Chicago American Giants,
mm-hmm.
which I had played with both teams and against both teams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I got a chance to play in that game in Chicago in 1945.
Now in Memphis, where did they play? Where did you go to see these games?
They had a park. The Memphis Chicks was an all white team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I would go out there and shag fly ball. They would let us do that. Go in the park. We had a certain section where we sat at the park.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I could go in there and shag fly ball. And with the Memphis Red Sox, I could go out there and watch them play. Plus, we had a semi-pro team played over at the Waterworks, a white team.
Okay.
I'd go over there and watch them play.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I got hit in the head with a broken bat.
Oh, wow.
Over there, yeah. And I got a whipping for it.
Mm-hmm.
Although getting hit in the head with the bat, I got a whipping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which it makes me feel proud to be around today.
Mm-hmm. And where would you go see the black teams?
The black teams would play at Ellum Park. That's where the Memphis Red Sox come in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's here in Memphis.
Could you spell that for me?
It's Red Ellum Park.
E-L-O-M?
Yeah, E-L-E-M,
okay.
I think. Yeah, Ellum Park.
Okay.
Yeah.
What side of town, where was that?
That was in South Memphis.
Okay.
Yeah, we'd have to go south and had to run back home. I'm just saying that the boys lived on the south side, didn't like the boys lived on the north
mm-hmm.
side.
Mm-hmm.
We were very humble on the north side. We had our little thing going. We would play teams and come over, and we would beat them. They didn't like it. And it was just a different atmosphere. It was just like the Democrats and the Republicans.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you were playing, for various teams and would come to Memphis. Were you still playing at Ellum Park?
I know it was Martin's Park.
Okay.
It changed to Martin's Park
mm-hmm.
later. Dr. W.S. Martin
mm-hmm.
owned the ballpark here in Memphis. He had 3 brothers. B.B.
Mm-hmm.
Martin was the booking agent. Mm-hmm. He booked games for his brother that owned the Memphis Red Sox and the ballpark. He had a brother by the name of J.B. Martin.
Mm-hmm.
He got to be president of the Negro Leagues. And he owned the Chicago American Giants also.
Mm-hmm.
And he had another brother that didn't really participate in baseball. His name was A.T. Martin.
Mm-hmm.
You heard of that?
No, sir.
Okay, well, he's a medical doctor.
Okay.
In fact, all of them was in medicine at one time. I saved W.S. was a surgeon. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. B.B. was a dentist. And J.B. was a pharmacist. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what do you remember about W.S. Martin?
W.S. Martin was a stern man, a good man, and believed in giving his people a job, which he was able. He was a multimillionaire. He had a farm. He had a lot of houses. He bought up houses and had his own carpenter. And he was over in a hospital, president of a hospital, Collins Chapel Hospital. He hired nurses. He had a school for nursing. The wonderful man, Dr. W.S. Martin. He was tight with his money. Of course, I got a good salary while I was playing with the Memphis Red Sox. And I was amazed to see the salaries of the ball players when I come to play with the Memphis Red Sox. And I was denied the salary that I asked for at first, and got some consideration out of his wife that I should get more money than what he offered me.
How much were you making at that time?
$450 a month, and I went up high as $550 with him, and after that, he wasn't gonna go any higher, so I had to leave. I left them the year after, and I went to Canada to play baseball in the Canadian Provincial League in Canada. And I had a chance to sign a major league contract with the Philadelphia Athletics. But I got hurt in 51, and I had to give up baseball.
And at that point, did you come back to Memphis?
Yes. Yes, I come back to Memphis and look for me a job. And finally, I found a job in the trucking industry, Teamsters. And I worked 27 years with the Teamsters, and I retired from the Teamsters.
So by Teamsters, you mean the union?
Yeah, yes.
What were race relations like within the Teamsters?
Oh, what I can say, race is always going to be a problem in the world, in the entire world. It's a culture of an animal, just like we are animals, just like a cat and a dog, you know, they square with each other. But I don't have no complex like a lot of folks do. I don't envy any race, I don't. I will only tell you that the way I come up, not to beg and not to borrow. I don't like that. I like to work for what I want, and I like to help people. I've always been a type of guy that will give out a lending hand, although I may get burned later on by doing it, but which I have over the years, and, but I don't look back. I still look ahead.
How long have you lived here on Netherwood?
32 years plus, I'm saying, yeah.
And when you moved here, what was the neighborhood like?
It was lily white, yeah.
Well, I actually don't have any more specific questions for you. Was there anything that you'd like to talk about from either your days after you left baseball or while you were playing?
Yes, I've met quite a few folk after my career was over. And I always speak about baseball to them. Mm-hmm. I don't care where. I met President Jimmy Carter.
Oh, really?
And I wanted his autograph. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of autograph seekers now want my autograph.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Atlanta last week to the ball game, and some youngster said, "I'd rather have your autograph, Mr. Scott, than to have those ball players out there on the field." And I gave it to them free, no charge. They charge for autographs now, but I never thought of much of charging and never will, because I'm proud of a person wanting my autograph. I go to the dog track in West Memphis. I meet a lot of folk over there. I'm not a real top gambler or nothing, but I just love to meet people. More folk be over there than they do around me here in Memphis. So I go to the dog track and meet people. I travel to Chicago, Pittsburgh, Los Angeles, and I go to ball games, St. Louis, Kansas City, which it don't cost me nothing to go to a ball game. I can get on that phone right now and call Kansas City and tell them I'll be in town for a scheduled game, and they'll make reservations for me. Yeah.
Now, is the Negro League Baseball Museum open in Kansas City yet?
Yes, it's open, but the museum is moving across the street. They are building a building for all the artifacts that's going in there.
Okay.
It will maybe take, the groundbreaking will be in, I think, September sometime.
Okay.
I was there about a month ago.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of the exhibit?
Fine, I love it. The only thing is, I say about the museum, it should be set up for players in other cities as well as it is in Kansas City.
Okay.
They have a board of directors, and everybody around Kansas City is on the board of directors. Nobody is like here in Memphis. We have ball players that have played in the Negro League.
Right.
And have ball players in Washington, Manassas, Virginia, that I know, Nashville, Tennessee, that I know. I think some of them should be on the board of directors to frame how the museum should go.
What do you think, were the things that you think they left out when they were talking about the Negro League?
They left out various teams. Number one, they left out Memphis Red Sox over all the rest of the team. The first...
The Memphis Red Sox are not in there at all?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
What I'm saying, the first flyer that was put out circling, they had every team on there, flyer, but the Memphis Red Sox.
Okay.
And the Memphis Red Sox started in 1920 or 22, and they was the only black owners that had their own ballpark. The rest of them played in the minor league parks or major league parks or played on a field. But Dr. W.S. Martin owned the park for the Memphis Red Sox. And I'd applaud him today for being one of the best owners in baseball that I know. And the other owner in baseball was Gus Greenleaf, that owned the Pittsburgh Crawfords. He was a multimillionaire, and he did a lot for ball players. He did a lot for owners. He financed ball players for other teams and gave them equipment, like transportation. Gus Greenleaf did that. Also, Dr. W.S. Martin. I'd like to always say I may leave out something, mm-hmm. but I'll applaud anyone that loves baseball. Mm-hmm. And I'll try to name the top people that was in baseball in my time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of things said over this PBS Ken Burns series.
Right.
It should have been edited. They should get more people involved than what they did in that series. Mm-hmm. Because my friend Buck O'Neill, who we are very close, but they talk about Kansas City, which was Buck O'Neill managed and played for Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And don't mention Memphis Red Sox. And I have a few teammates that I would call their name. Living today here is Frank Pearson, Verdell Mathis, Isaiah Harris, that I played with. And I always like to mention their name and whatever. Casey Jones, he now lives in Chicago. He was a catcher on the team that I played for. And most of the guys that I played with are dead.
Were there any other teams, any other black teams in Memphis?
No, it was just like
the Red Sox.
Yeah, from for considered.